Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to the podcast. I have an amazing guest today because we're talking about love stories, which are your favorite episodes and mine, of course. So Megan is joining us today. And what's really funny is Megan and I were college friends at U of I 5 years ago because we just graduated school, haha. And we were actually sorority sisters in Pi Beta Phi at Illinois. And Megan, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Bella. Great to be here. It's so good to connect with you.
It's always good to connect with you. I remember fondly young Megan at the Pi Phi house. I'm sure you probably remember young Bella. Probably yeah. Nobody needs to remember young Bella.
Young Bella was terrific.
A little bit crazy, but yeah, definitely mellowed with age, like a good bottle of wine.
I think we all have a little bit.
Oh my gosh. And you knew Andy and me when we were friends before we officially started dating.
No one really thought you were friends. You were alleged friends. And we let you think that. Andy did not want to just be friends with you. Everybody loved Andy. I think he was our house sweetheart at some point. Or if he wasn't, he should have been. You and Andy were never just friends. But if you want to think that, that's fine.
Oh my gosh, the narrative, so different, you all. We were friends. Everyone else is like, how are you guys not dating? I'm like, oh my gosh, of course we're not dating. So flash forward, they were all correct, right? Yeah, exactly. So Megan, tell everyone I know about you, but kind of tell us, like, where'd you grow up? Talk about, like, little Megan, dating, all of the things.
Sure. Great. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs. I have two brothers who actually both followed me to U of I. Went down to U of I with, a good chunk of my graduating class and joined the sorority. And I loved everything about college. I loved making new friends. I, enjoyed the coursework and, just all of college life. So much that I stayed for graduate school right away after undergrad. So I was in Champaign for 5.5 years.
Oh, wow.
So
were
I had
a business school. Were you in the business school undergrad?
No, I was in the labor relations school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For undergrad, I was in liberal arts and then grad school labor relations. But I didn't. I didn't date a lot in high school or college. I think I was kind of shy. I think I was just kind of nervous around guys, in a one-on-one or in kind of like a dating scenario. So it wasn't something that I felt like came naturally to me or that was easy. But I had a lot of great girlfriends and, I'd have dates to parties and setups and things like that. And that was all perfectly fine with me. When I finished grad school, I moved up to Chicago and into Lincoln Park with my college sorority sister. And we lived there for 5 years and I dated, kind of on and off, different folks and really different backgrounds and, different people. I was kind of an early user of online dating, which was really just match.com on a computer with dial-up services at the time. I did a fair amount of dating, but just never really quite met the right guy. A lot of my friends in their, you know, late 20s were starting to pair up and, you know, get married. And, you know, there was a little bit of just personal pressure at the time that, you know, I kind of want to do this too. But I also always really wanted to just be a happy person and be fulfilled with kind of whatever's on my plate at the time. I was not someone who was so worried about finding a person in the world and, you know, getting married and having kids and settling down. I would have really loved all of that. And not to say that there probably were not a few teary conversations with my mom or something that why isn't this happening yet? But I made a conscious decision, you know, along the way to just find someone who's going to enhance my life, not someone that is going to be all about like just finding a guy to get to check a box and get married and have children. I moved over to Michigan for a couple of years, came back to Chicago. I bought and sold 3 or 4 houses, condos on my own. And, I've just been very fortunate to have had a lot of great experiences that have allowed me to gain a lot of independence. I've gone to, you know, traveled to Europe several times with work, on vacation with girlfriends. I've gone to Africa, you know, on a safari. I really just did not let the lack of a partner hold me back from a whole lot. I've gone on vacation by myself. So I feel like, you know, I was having a lot of fun too, that it was, you know, okay, I met someone, we'd date for a few months, or I'd do a bunch of online dates, you know, kind of sporadically. But then I really got to a point where when I reached out to you was, you know, I want a partner in my life. I want someone to come home to and to share life with versus just feeling like I'm checking a box. And that's, I think when we got connected and, you know, kind of started the process.
That's right. And that was some time back. I'm so glad that we've reconnected, you know, back. I think we figured it was about 2012 that you and I reconnected through your college roommate,
yeah,
who was also a sorority sister that must have been following the fact that I had started this company a few years before.
Yeah, I think that was it. And I knew that you were doing something in the dating world. I didn't, you know, I kind of thought it was matchmaking. And I know you did start out that way for a hot second. But I knew that I needed some more support. And I also kind of thought about, you know, if I was feeling sick, I would go to the doctor, or if I wanted to get in better shape, I might get a trainer or a coach, or
right.
There's so many other parts of your life where you involve a third party expert to really help you with something that I was clearly not succeeding at the time, which is why I, you know, reaching out to you made a lot of sense.
That's awesome. Okay. So now at this point, if I remember right, you had a relationship, and tell us a little bit about that and then kind of like set the stage as to where you were when we started working together.
I had had a couple of relationships for probably around the 1 year mark. And you know, then it just was, you know, I don't really want to continue on, or this guy is becoming a lot of work. And I remember vividly, there was one guy who never wanted to go out on the weekends. And I just kind of got to a point where I'm not your Tuesday night date. So but you know, you could do whatever you want to do, but I deserve a lot more, you know, than just once a week. And I also presumed that if he was seeing me on Tuesday, there was someone on Wednesday, on Thursday, etc. And I was doing the same thing, kind of, but I liked him and I, you know, wanted to move forward. We reconnected on and off over maybe 2 years. And then I just really ultimately, as I got older, I think I got a lot more confidence and you are just not the right person for me. You're probably the right person for someone. It's just not me. I dated a lot of guys, not a lot, two or three that I really felt, maybe it was three or four dates each, where you are a wonderful person on paper. You are handsome. You meet we're lacking a spark, or it's not coming from my side. And it was like a feeling of, I want to introduce you to every single girl I know. It's just not me. So I felt like I was also learning a lot. And I feel like early on in my 20s, you know, I always was sort of, I gravitated toward like the life of the party guy and the center of attention and this like big personality. And I slowly realized it took some time. I needed to date like his best friend accountant that was like standing next to him. Or so, you know, in theory, that someone who was smart and reliable and would provide like safety, but who could also be fun and, you know, goes out and, you know, social, but not someone who was so focused on like everyone, you know, paying attention to him. So all of those different experiences, I feel like really helped, you know, shape what I was looking for. And then when I started working with you, I think that like continued to refine and refine. I also started, you know, one thing with you, which was great. You really pushed me to kind of look outside my typical comfort zone and outside of my, you know, neighborhood even. And I think in Chicago, I think that's funny because I think people do sort of date even within the city kind of geographically. Totally. So to kind of date outside the neighborhood, date outside of my religion, date people who have been divorced, people with kids. So, and I really wasn't doing that. And I also realized as I was getting older, that pool of quote unquote, like perfect, or, you know, what I had focused on in my late 20s, it's much harder to focus, much a smaller pool in my late 30s. So I did start doing that. And that just helped me see like, maybe I would rather be dating someone who's been in a serious relationship and it failed and they learned something from it and they take some level of responsibility for the success or the failure in the relationship.
Right.
And those things became, you know, I became much more open toward, okay, I'm in my late 30s, around 40-ish. A lot of guys have either been divorced or have kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just hadn't experienced it. So I didn't really know what it would be like. You know, my vision was that they're like never available and that I wasn't sure that I wanted to go through that.
No, I remember so clearly when we met the first time. And one of the things that we did was really walk through who are the people in your life that make you really happy and your elevator people. And, you know, looking at, I'm trying to remember, I mean, you had a good amount of people on your list and then really coming in for the characteristics that made you happiest in your happy people. And then prioritizing those, for example, to your point, over someone who is always the life of the party. And there's nothing wrong with life of the party, but it's life of the party because the party is the center of their lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was not. And it took me time to sort of either mature or just figure that out, or it didn't matter at some point. Within my 30s, I dated someone for 10 years, who I loved dating, but I did not want to marry.
Yeah.
Like there just was some things there that I can put my finger on and I know what they are, and some things that are just not clear, but not in a good way. He was a terrific person. He loved me. And that was almost harder than dating someone who cheats on you or does something to probably end a relationship, because he was just a wonderful person and was very kind. And, but it just wasn't going to continue to advance in a meaningful adult way. And even though, you know, people, my partner now will say like, well, why were you with him for 10 years? And it was like 3 years and then I blinked and it was 7 years and I blinked again and it was 10 years. And, you know, my friends and family were getting married and, you know, moving on with their lives. And I really enjoyed the relationship with him, and he traveled a lot. So he wasn't here. So when he was home, it was like, let's go. It was always like fancy dinners and, you know, nice nights out. There wasn't like sitting on the couch, I have the flu, can you please get me some Gatorade? Although right. I think he would have done that. It was more just like constant fourth fun. Through 10th date. Yeah. Yeah. It was just fun, but I wasn't going to, get serious with him. And it just was really hard to break that relationship, break up, because there was nothing like bad. I almost wanted him to cheat on me or wanted him to do something, I don't know, or him to meet someone else so that I would be forced. And I just got to a point where I have to sort of rip the Band-Aid off, and he can't be your first call when you're sad or, you know, when something bad has happened or you need comfort or something. And then I started dating again and back online. And that's when we started meeting more intensively. And I really started your program, and both with the elevator people. And then you were, I don't know if you still do this, but the good husband qualities.
Yeah. The marriage. Yeah.
Yeah.
THQ.
Yeah, and we worked through that to better understand, like, he's not really fitting in with, you know, the longer term picture.
Well, exactly. And I think you said it so well, right? You can be with somebody who's a great person and a great friend. And I love how you said it was always like dates 4 through 10. Mm-hmm. You wanted to get to a point of, yeah, can you get me some Gatorade? I've got COVID and I need to get better. And can we grocery shop together and do like the grown-up things of life with? So, right.
Yeah.
It was right. With some people, they have that ceiling and it doesn't make them bad people. It's just, you know, maybe it's a timing issue. Maybe that's just what they're capable of. Right. And so, but it was great that you had the wherewithal and to know, number one, 1 year becomes 5 years, becomes 10 years so fast, and time continues to speed on. But then you really prioritized yourself and what you wanted and what you valued, and you knew you were worth it, because so often people will sit in that relationship for 20, 30, 40 years because they think that they're going to do any better, and they're afraid of being single. And now there's sunk cost to being with him. I've been with him for 10 years. It's not bad. Maybe it's me. Maybe we don't need to live together. Maybe we don't need to get married. And we start to do the S word, settle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew I was starting down that path. And I knew I wanted more. And as I was getting older, it was becoming less of kind of a cookie cutter what I wanted versus, I just know I want more and this is not quite it and I got to get out. And it was one of my hardest, like, adult decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well,
yeah.
So we start our process at Smart Dating Academy. I remember how gorgeous you were at your photo shoot. Your photos
Thank
were
you. Thank
stunning.
you.
And when you see the video of Megan, you'll be like, oh my God, this girl's amazing. She's gorgeous and beautiful. And so you started dating, but flash forward, you got on, was it Meet Mindful or was it Elite Singles or am I wrong?
It was Meet Mindful.
It was Meet Mindful.
I
Okay.
Did a solid year of Match.com.
Yeah.
To the point that it was 4 to 5 dates a week. I had a spreadsheet. For me personally, it was too much. It was a lot. And
that's
that's what we kind of discussed in the beginning, like casting a wide net. I was just trying to say yes to, it's like, okay, is there like a 1% chance this is my guy? Okay, I can have coffee with you or a drink. So I was trying to be much more open than I had in the past. And I did that for about a year and it was totally overwhelming. And, you know, maybe I got with a couple of guys, 3 or 4 dates, and never just quite honed in on like the exact right person, and decided I would just take a year off and just maybe meet organically or get set up and still like, you know, reviewing the qualities that we had talked about and the map and things like that. And then after about a year, and I realized I was not meeting my guy at spin, at yoga, at the grocery store, that were all relatively female oriented places, or, you know, and with my girlfriends, we might go out for dinner or to someone's house, but it wasn't like we weren't really going to bars anymore or places that you would inherently just meet other people.
Sure.
So I found this website called meetmindful.com, which I found in a yoga magazine. And it wasn't like everyone did yoga, but it was a little bit more, you know, maybe crunchy or down yoga or more spiritual. And I decided, okay, I'll try this. It's clearly a very niche site. And maybe it's just a little bit more targeted toward people who just like to work out or be active. And it was initially a total disaster. So far from the types of folks that I was personally looking for. And like the first month was free. So I figured I had nothing to lose and, right, you know, signed up for it, put one picture on. And then after a month, I didn't pay for the second month or didn't, but my profile, you just couldn't access your messages or anything like that unless you paid going into the second month. So I just let it go and went about my life, but I kept the profile out there. And from time to time, I would get a message like, oh, you have a new, you know, you have a new match or something like that. No, and it was, you know, not the right fit, things like that. And then maybe about 2 months after I joined, I was on vacation with one of my girlfriends. We were hiking in Zion National Park out west. And I got an email, and this guy's, you could see the picture, or maybe you could see something. And it was like a professional corporate headshot, suit and tie. And I said, I don't know who this is. I could have one drink with this person.
Right.
I paid $8 to get back into my membership so I could respond to him. And he had sent me an email, and he had a couple of more pictures that were cute, and his kids were in one of them. And I responded and said, I'm on vacation. So, you know, I'll be back in a couple of days and I'll like follow back up or something like that. And so I got back in touch with him, and we emailed back and forth. And ultimately found out through these emails that our families both have summer houses on a lake in Wisconsin, which my parents had since retired to. And we were like, the houses were like two blocks away from each other. Crazy. And we just never knew each other. And he had always been there with a wife and children. So he wasn't like, you know, in the neighborhood, like socializing a lot. And he had little ones at the time. So we ultimately found out that we had like 30 friends in common. And we did remember, we connected, we met at one party like 5 years ago, just hi. He was there with someone. It was at our mutual friend's house. So it wasn't any reason, you know, he was there with a date. So there was no reason to try to, you know, foster, a connection or something like that. So we went out on our first date on a Thursday. He asked me out for Friday. I said like, okay, this is weird. I may be busy, you know, let me check my calendar. And then he asked me out for Saturday. And I was like, let me get back to you. Like, I'm like, what is that? This is super weird. But then I realized he had his kids the following weekend. So he wanted to like continue to spend time together.
When he could. Like,
absolutely. And his kids were in their teen years. So it really was like, I have to be like a present parent. I can't like go on a date while they're here. So it would have been like another 10 or 12 days till we could have like gotten together again. And he had something going on during the week or, you know, whatever. And I was with two of my girlfriends on that Saturday morning and they were like, just go for it. You're too like, not in a like, you're old, you're getting old, but just like, just go for it. You're too old for, you know, just continue to get to know him. So we went out on that. He actually cooked dinner for me and he was a great cook on Saturday. Yeah. And we ended up going out again, about like another like week later. And it was like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So it was probably like 10 more days later. And in the meantime, he was calling me, he was texting me, he was sending me a screenshot of the weather for the day every day at like 7:30 AM. Like, and just kind of like, good morning. Like, and I kind of was like, this guy think I don't know how to figure out what the weather is today. Like, and like, I asked him about it like a couple years later. And he kind of was like, I just wanted to let you know, I was thinking of you and, you know, to have a good day. And it was like such a night and day from the way that anyone else had ever treated me. It was so overwhelming. And some of it was, I was like, you need to slow it down for like 10 seconds. But then on like our fourth date, it was the day before, like the night before Thanksgiving, we went out for a really nice dinner and he asked me to be his girlfriend.
And you used
those words. I was like, first of all, are we in seventh grade? I don't even know what to say. This is so bizarre. You're like 48 years old.
And you know, I love that. I love titles. I love titles.
And I just kind of looked at him and I sort of started laughing. Like, are you, and he was serious. And then again, I just sort of said like, okay, you know, what am I, this is so, do I get some kind of like promise ring or like, what are we doing?
Do I get a lavalier?
Right. It was so cute. But I was so like confused by it in the moment. And again, I asked him about it maybe a year later or some time. And he said, hey, I just wanted to lock it down.
Right.
And I was like, okay. You know, and I wasn't really dating anyone else. He didn't need to like formalize it. I mean, this was like max 2 weeks after we had met in person. Maybe it was like 3.5 weeks since we like started emailing or texting. So he was really like showing all these signs of, he was, you know, very interested. Yeah. And then I introduced him to my parents over Thanksgiving weekend, which I had never, ever, ever done before. Like this was like a month after I met him and I never had introduced, I'd introduced two guys to my parents in the, like the previous 20 years. And so they were kind of surprised. I mean, I was shocked that I was doing this. But we were going to spend time together in Wisconsin, and just, I was staying at my parents' house. So I couldn't just like say, I'm like leaving, I'm going out for the night alone. Like it just would have been so weird. And just, we're 8 years later. So here we are.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So it was a really great, you know, for, I think sometimes for like all the heartache and all the struggle that I had trying to find him, it's totally worth it. We are happy. We've been together for 8 years. We moved in together 5 years ago, and, you know, he has two kids and they're in their early 20s now and kind of onto their next phase of life. And it's been wonderful to see that happen for both of them and help them, you know, in any way that I can in that, you know, journey. And now, you know, we talk about how we're going to go on vacation. We talk about retirement. It's, you know, I wish I would have met him 25 years ago. I wish we could have had kids together or different experiences, but I don't know that I would have liked him 25 years ago. Like, he's told me about his life, and he's, you know, he was kind of that life of the party, and he's like mellowed through the years. So right. I think I have found the right balance of we complement each other in a lot of ways. You know, he pushes me outside of my comfort zones when I need to, and I push him or reel him in more likely. But it's just been a great journey. Not every single day is perfect, but, you know, like I think I told you, he's, you know, the lid for my pot, but sometimes the lid, you know, pops off. Needs to get readjusted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like the lid and the pot analogy because the pot's fine by itself, but the lid is just that little accoutrement that fits well. And right. Sometimes we need to take the wooden spoon and like bang the lid to make it fit back.
Exactly.
On.
And sometimes he needs to bang the pot, and that's okay. Right. And I, you know, I get that, but I think has driven a lot of the success in our relationship is that we like each other. We are friends. I love being with him. I love doing things with him. I'm excited when he comes home at night. I told one of my nieces that we were moving in together, and she was like 5 or 6 at the time. And I said, well, I sold my house and I bought a new house. And she said, and you guys are going to live next door to each other? You know, like it was her dream of like living next door to your best friend, like couldn't be anything better. And then I was like, yeah, I mean, well, we're living in the same house, but, it just was so pure and sweet because she was 6, you know, the way she said it, but. That's, exactly what it's been. And, you know, he's gotten me Gatorade and he's taking care of me when I'm sick and I take care of him. And it's just a really good friendship and partnership. And, I'm really glad that I had patience, although it didn't always feel easy at the time.
Oh no, you did such a great job. I know. And where you were coming from, I know when we first started working together, it was a pretty big and amazing pivot that you made from, you know, the life of the party, you know, not, I wouldn't say Peter Pan's, but like more in that quadrant,
a little bit,
and to expanding your scope and to casting your net out wide and being patient and not quitting and being open to somebody that was divorced with kids, right?
He's the only person divorced with kids that I dated.
Right. And here you are 8 years later, and you can't wait for him to come home at night. He is the quintessential. My rule of thumb for all of my clients at Smart Dating Academy, and for those of you listening that have worked with us, you know, when we go through your list of elevator people and we look at the theme, I always tell you, I want the lid to your pot to be the number one person mm-hmm. on your elevator list with these qualities. And I think you found that.
Oh, for sure. And I actually asked him the other day, we were kind of joking, and he's been very busy with work lately. And I just was cleaning up in the kitchen, and I said, am I your top priority? And he did not hesitate and said, yes. And I said, that just like melted my heart. I didn't really need him to do anything in that moment. I didn't need anything from him. Just knowing that as a woman, that I have been very independent for my entire adult life, just about entire adult life, to know that there's a person that I can really lean on, and who wants me to lean on him and, you know, wants to tackle big challenges. We've both, you know, lost parents. We've both changed jobs, you know, as we've been together. So we've been through some big, you know, we moved in together, which I had never lived with anyone before. And, you know, after the first couple of weeks, I looked at him and I said, wow, you're still here. Why? I'm joking, but, you know, we're just a really good team. And, you know, I think we really love each other and we're supportive of each other. And I'm so glad to have waited to have been able to find that.
And it was all worth it.
It was totally worth it. And I had a wonderful single life while I was doing that, because I wasn't sitting at home wringing my hands. I mean, once in a while, but you know, I just kept living life. And if this happened, great. And if not, I want it to just enhance my life, not be my life. And that's how it's worked out.
There any pieces, any gems that you want to leave with the listener who, you know, needs a little inspiration?
I mean, just be patient. And it's really worth the wait, and you are worth the wait. Mm-hmm. That your person is out there, and it may take a minute. It took a minute for me. but the journey was really fun, and it's going to be even better, you know, together moving forward. But I was thinking about that. I figured you'd ask me kind of something like that, but just be patient and don't settle. You're worth it to make that right to find that right person for yourself.
Absolutely.
And if you think you're with the wrong person, you probably are.
Oh, say it again for the people in the back.
Okay. If you think you're with the wrong person, you probably are.
Damn. That is a gem. And if you are, don't waste time. You have one.
Life's too short. YOLO. Yeah.
YOLO. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get out, invest in yourself. If you need help, like Megan said at the beginning of this episode, in any other aspect of my life, I would reach out if I wasn't having success mm-hmm. in an arena. And even though we were acquainted and friends from being in our sorority that many years ago at Illinois, I'm so glad that our friends Jeannie and Andrea put us back together. And I couldn't be more delighted to know that you found your high GHQ guy. You found the lid to your pot, and you guys even volunteer together.
We do. Yes. So, you know, we just enjoy being together. So we're lucky in that, but I also think it's not that I was lucky to find him, because I put the work in to find him, you know, could have been lucky to find someone else, but that wasn't my right person. And you, Bella, and your team are just amazing resources to work with through this process, because it can be really tough, and you have to be vulnerable And you have to, you know, probably share parts of yourself that you don't want to, or you haven't shared with other people, or maybe not in a while. But Bella and, you know, Bella, you and your team are just amazing confidants and, you know, either shoulders to cry on and the best cheerleaders through the process. So it was well worth working with you.
Oh, well, you are amazing. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
We are friends and always will be. And thank you for sharing. Your story is so lovely and inspiring and so relatable on so many levels. And it's pivoting. Who doesn't like the, if I went through my bad boy phase, as you well know, many of us did, right?
And yeah. You, oh yeah.
Yeah. And then ultimately when you're ready for a grown-up relationship, you take the time, you figure it out, you invest in yourself, and you stay optimistic like Megan did, which you did.
Yeah.
We could always have a good laugh about it. You didn't take it personally. And it's like, okay, get up, dust off, move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why you've been so successful in everything you've done in your life.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, beautiful. Big hugs to you.
You too.
Smart daters, I hope you see yourself in Megan. I hope that pieces of her story, if not the whole story, inspired you to take some action, to do something different for your dating life, for your love life, or if you have that little voice, that nagging feeling, like Megan said, that you're not with the right person. Guess what? You're probably not with the right person. Life is too short to settle for someone, to settle for somebody's bad behavior, for someone who doesn't treat you or want the same things out of life that you do. So it's time to get back in the pool. Y'all, love is in the air. Spring is out there. The buds are out. The flowers are out, the birds are out. So do something for yourself. So I bid you farewell, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.